stop and look at the world. I'd like for you yourself to be honest. Take a look at the world. After a little over 2,000 years of preaching the gospel, it is still filled with wickedness. As a matter of fact, it seems to be growing more dark as the days go by. With all of that preaching for 2,000 years that Jesus Christ is Lord, the world hasn't gotten better. And shocker, ready? It will not get better.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse through the Bible. Jesus warns of the world's hatred towards His followers as our study of John continues in chapter 15, verse 18. Here's Pastor Bob.
This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, or no individual than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Then Jesus says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command. Henceforth, or from now on, I call you not servants, for the servant does not know what his Lord is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. God's telling us what the Father says, because He wants us to know it. We're not just servants only, we're friends. The servant serves because that's what they're required to do. But the master doesn't tell them what he's doing or why he's doing. He just says, get out there and do it. But as a friend, Jesus says, I want you to understand what we're doing, what my Father is saying and doing. So it makes sense to you, and we follow along. So now, verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, appointed you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should last or remain for always, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And that was verse 12, the same thing. This is my commandment, you love one another as I have loved you. When things are man-made, made by you and me, man-made things result in what? Fading away. They'll all be gone. They'll all be gone. Where there are man-made results, they fade, they wither away, they're gone. Where there is real fruit, true fruit, God says it remains. Dr. Wiersbe wrote this, fruit has in it the seed for more fruit. So the process goes on and on. Whatsoever or whatever is born of the Spirit of God has the mark of eternity on it and will last forever, including you and me. And the things that are done for the Lord, that fruit will remain for all eternity. That's where we left off. Now, with that running start, let's take up in verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, the world would love its own, his own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, Christian. He's not just talking to his 11 disciples there. This is to all true believers. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. This may be a shock to your system, that the world hates you. Now, how many of you love to be hated? Nobody. None of you. You could say, I don't mind. Yes, you do. That's why you have a Facebook page. That's why there are things called selfies, because even if nobody else loves you, you know you do. That's us, and that's what God's trying to grow us up through. Yeah, you don't want people to hate you, do you? Don't lie to us. We can check. No, you want everybody to like you. We all, that's our nature. That's how we're built. Friendship with God. He called us friends. He said that he is our friend. We sing a song, and I like it. What a friend we have in Jesus. God called Abraham his friend. He said, Abraham is my friend. And I'll tell Abraham what I'm going to do. Could I go and do something without telling my friend? Jesus says, I've got to tell you what I'm going to do because you're my friends. I want you to know what I'm planning. God has told us what's coming. If you've been reading your Bible at all, you already know what's coming. You are watching. You see what's coming. If you don't, then go back and read slowly through Daniel chapters 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Really slowly. And then read the book of Revelation. And then read Matthew chapters 24 and 25. You already know what's coming. There's an Antichrist coming. Well, look at this. Friendship with God results in hatred from the world. The world doesn't hate you because you don't agree with it. The world hates you and me because we represent Jesus Christ. The world hated him, and so how are they going to like you? The only way the world will let you in is if you don't act like Jesus at all. Friendship with God results in hatred from the world. The world's not going to ever accept me if I keep teaching the Bible like this. They're not going to accept you if you want to live it and believe it. You're not going to even fit in much. And there are a lot of churches we might not even be welcome in if we're going to come in with that kind of attitude. The opposite is also true. Friendship with the world makes us an enemy to God. Why? Because the world hates God. So what do we got here? Friendship with God results in the world hating you. Friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God. The more like the world you want to be, the less like God you are, and that puts you against God, opposed to God. You say, oh no, I love the Lord. I'm just kind of playing both ends against the middle. You can't. There's no such thing. There's no gray area in this. Either I'm born again by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, or I'm not. There's not some kind of gray area there where you get a little wiggle room. And a lot of Christians want to try and live in this little wiggle space, and there's no such space. There's no middle of the road. Jesus was hated from the time of his birth. Remember, they killed the babies trying to kill Jesus. He was hated from the time of his birth all the way through to his crucifixion, and he is still hated today. You go to a public place and you mention Jesus out loud, and you've heard me say it, it's like throwing a live snake on the table. It's like you have said something foul. And you mention Jesus in public. The world hated Jesus and will hate anyone who resembles Jesus, who lives like Jesus. And what are we called to do? Imitate Jesus. He said, take up your cross daily and follow me. To follow means to walk like me, imitate me, come along with me. So, you know, okay, so here's the question, because everybody's trying. We're always looking for a loophole. That's the problem with our human nature. Okay, all right, then what does he mean by the world? That's a term that we're throwing around here. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you're not of the world, I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Okay, what are we talking about? We're talking about the world. Dr. Wolford describes it this way. The world is the system of organized society hostile toward God. which is under Satan's power and authority. That's what we mean with the world. The world around us is ruled by the devil himself. Completely different than what you and I are all about. Let me say it another way. The world system is terminally evil. It can never, now underline never, be improved. You are not going to make this world a better place. Are you shocked and stunned? Because that's what so many churches now have given up on preaching the gospel, and they're just out there doing a social thing, trying to make it a better neighborhood, trying to make it a better place. The world can never be improved. It is dead set against God. It is lost. It is evil. And the only way that individuals can be saved is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. I don't think the church is walking that way or acting that way anymore. I think the church figures our job here is to fix everything. How's that going, church? The world system will forever stand in hostility toward God Almighty until the world system is destroyed. If you'd like to see how it's going to end, read through the book of Revelation. There is a tribulation period coming where sin will be judged here on the earth. Trouble's coming. Did you think nice things were just on the way? Is roses and rainbows and pretty? There have been many, many Christians who believe that the world can be made better. Aren't you hearing that now on the television and on the radio? And on YouTube? Well, if you want to see some junk, you just watch some YouTube. Any doctrine you want to back up, no matter how bad or wrong it is, it's there on YouTube. And you can, they'll give you proof texts. Christians believe that the world can be made better, though God says the world hates you and will always hate you. The world hated him and will always hate him. And so God's going to come back and shut down the world system. Still to this day, check around. Don't take my word for it. Look around. Listen. Listen to the teachings on the radio. Listen. Watch. Read the articles in the so-called Christian magazine. Still today, there are so many who believe that the church has the responsibility to change the world, to make the world better, to make the world act nicer, more holy, better, where God says it can't be. He says, you are not of the world. I called you out of it. So what have we learned? We're in the world, but we're not of it. We're not about what the world is about, are we? No, we're in the world. We have to live here. There's no place where these bodies work. We're in it, but we're not of it. We don't participate. We don't do the things that the world does. Not because we're better, but because he has taken us out of this world. He has brought us into a spiritual life. So a lot of ministries spending their time to make the world a nicer place. But stop and look at the world. I'd like for you yourself to be honest. Take a look at the world. After a little over 2,000 years of preaching the gospel, it is still filled with wickedness. As a matter of fact, it seems to be growing more dark as the days go by. With all of that preaching for 2,000 years that Jesus Christ is Lord, the world hasn't gotten better. And shocker, ready? It will not get better. God's going to come and shut it down and proclaim himself as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to shut down the wickedness. We're not going to make it better like a lot of people are teaching you. It's still filled with wickedness. it's growing darker. Jesus said it would. Peter mentions that. John mentions that. James mentions that. You, if you've been walking with the Lord even a short time, you are seeing some of the ugliest things starting to happen that maybe you've never seen in your lifetime. The attitudes and the violence and the nature of the human beings has become so vicious, so fierce. And in the last days, we're told it's all going to come out in the open. And haven't you seen it? Or do you still live under that rock? Listen to the language of James. He's not mad at anybody. He writes in the book of James, this is the half-brother of Jesus Christ, "You adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity, hatred toward God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." If we're here as the church trying to make nice and just make everybody feel comfortable and happy and make sure that all, we're not doing what God's called us to do. We've got it. We're a city, a shining city on a hill, and you can, if the light is glowing, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. So let your light so shine that the world understands there's something different. The church has grown powerless because the church is trying to be friends with the world. You're seeing more and more of a social gospel. Well, all we got to do is feed them and give them socks, and then they'll be nice. You know, that's true. We should feed them and give them socks. But first, the gospel. And the gospel includes, for me and for you and for everybody out there, repentance. Turning from our ways and turning back to God. Didn't somebody ever mention to you, like God's word says, repent. Turn back, O man, forswear thy foolish ways. Of course we're saved by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. But there needs to come a point when we will surrender our hearts and say, save me, Lord, wash me clean. And here we are. We're stuck on the little arguments of how that happens. Are you forced to? Are you destined to go to hell? Are you destined to go to Oklahoma? And we're making little fights among ourselves when people are headed for destruction and need to hear the gospel. Look at 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any individual love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The more I get into the world, the less I am into God, is what he's saying. The love of the Father is not in you if the world is your thing. But we've denied ourselves. Jesus says, whosoever shall come after me, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow. So we're in the world, yes, but we're not of it. We live a different way. And it shows. And it sometimes your lifestyle becomes a slap in the face to non-believers. Jesus says to all of us, if you were of this world, the world would love you. I mean, they'd just be voting for you. They'd want you everywhere. They just want to be around you and you to be around. But see, you and I, we Christians, anybody that belongs to Jesus, we are not of this world. Listen to what he just says in the scripture 18 and 19 that we read. He says this, I have chosen you out of this world. Yeah, we still live on it. But right, we're in the world, but we're not of it any longer. Has your life changed a little bit since you came to Jesus Christ? Slowly, maybe, but has it changed a little bit? And you're careful. Some of the things you say at work because you want to, by God's grace, you want to be a blessing to them instead of just like one of the gang. And then they start noticing, how come you don't hang out with us and tell the jokes that we tell? How come you? No good reason. I'm just busy. They see a difference. I've chosen you out of this world. That's why the world hates you. When we received Jesus, our Lord and Savior, listen closely, we were instantly placed in a new position. You didn't feel it, maybe, or you didn't, you know, you were still standing on the same ground where you got saved, or kneeling there, or sitting in a chair, right? But what's the position? We were taken by God's grace and power of the Holy Spirit and hidden in Christ. We're hidden in Him. We're in the world, but we are not of it any longer. We're not going to help the world to be better. We're going to tell them the truth and say, Jesus Christ loves you. And you can have eternal life freely given. Turn to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Repent. All that means is turn completely around. You're headed for hell. Turn around by God's grace and let's go with Him. Well, verse 20 says this. Jesus says, remember the word that I said to you? The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my words, my sayings, they would keep yours. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. They treated our master, our Lord Jesus Christ, with hatred. And he never did anything wrong to them. He loved them. He fed them. He healed their diseases. Some that were blind, he gave them their sight. Some that couldn't walk, he allowed them to walk. He did mighty miracles. And in return, they hated him and they crucified him. And they didn't want him around. They refused to listen to Jesus Christ. The words he had. Remember, they just rejected it. They said, you're weird. You're crazy. We don't want you around. They refused to listen to Jesus, and they will refuse to listen to our words when we tell them about Jesus. Have you noticed it? Have you tried just to tell someone the gospel? I just have people look at me and say, you know what? I've heard that and I don't even want to hear it again. Okay, good. People say it to you quite often. I don't want to hear that junk. The very thing that could save them from an eternity separated from God, that could give them a peace in their heart, that could save their soul for all eternity, they spit at. They're still spitting in Jesus' face. And Jesus says, that's the way they're going to treat you too. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Now, these are familiar to you, but look how they fit. Peter says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to test you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with all exceeding joy. Notice, we're not going to change the world. We're going to preach the gospel, and some will hear it and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit will inhabit them, will save them. God will save them as well. He'll use any one of us that others can have eternal life. The people are willingly ignorant that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was sent by his Father in heaven. They are willingly ignorant. Isn't that what he says? Verse 21. Remember the word that I said to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my sayings, they would keep yours. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they do not know him that sent me. They refuse to believe that God Almighty gave his only begotten Son, sent Jesus Christ. He became flesh miraculously and dwelt among us. And people to this day refuse to believe that.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.